the book of Hebrews, but I want to talk this morning about the blood of Jesus. Sometimes when you get to the blood of Jesus, people begin to have trouble and they begin to say, I just don't understand. Remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus was there with the disciples and he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part with me. And they did not understand what he was saying. And the scripture said many of them turned and went away. They just didn't understand it. But the disciples looked at him and they said, Jesus said to them, will ye also go away? And they said, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. And truly this morning, as we look through this scripture, we're going to talk about the blood of Jesus, how the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins, how that by shedding his blood, Jesus made a way for all men to be saved. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, and verse number 22, and then we're going to go back and read just a couple of verses prior in the chapter, but it says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into the heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end, notice that word end, of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, I want to go back to the 13th and the 14th verse and just read two verses. It says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You remember in the Old Testament that the priest would come and he would offer sacrifice, but it had to be done repeatedly. And it's talking about here that Jesus Christ went once for all. And if it was acceptable to God then that the priest would offer that lamb that was without blemish, how much more Jesus Christ? You see, what the Bible teaches us is that Jesus Christ came and he was God in the flesh and he lived upon this earth and he walked without sin. Teaches us that he was born of a virgin birth. And I believe these things. I believe the things that the Bible says. I believe that the blood of Jesus is very important. I don't really completely understand it all, and I'll tell you why. My mind just can't fathom all those things of God. But I do believe what the Bible says. And I have prayed and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Now, I want to share something with you, and we're going to move into the Scripture in some more places, but I want us to remember some things as Christians. As Christians, we must remember that we're in a battle. We have an enemy that accuses us, and he is called in the Scripture, in the book of Revelation chapter number 12 and verse 10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. Well, how does he accuse? Well, sometimes what Satan does is he comes and he wants to bring up things out of our past. He wants to remind us of what we've done and what we've used to be. And sometimes what he tries to do is he tries to make such an issue of those things that he can discourage you and cause you not to believe that the grace of God is sufficient. I can't tell you the times that I've tried to counsel with people and they say, "You just don't know what I've done. I just don't think God's grace is good enough or great enough to reach me." I want to tell you something, folks. God's grace is greater than your sin. You see, he reminds us and he accuses us, and if he can't get that, then he comes at us in whatever way that he can to needle us and get into our life. And here's something I want you to understand. Satan knows what your weaknesses are. And it's not the same for everybody in here. You know, I can stand up here before you today and I can talk about the fact that I've never taken drugs or done alcohol. But can I read the scripture out of Proverbs where it says what God hates and say that I've never done any of those things? I don't think any of us can. And what Satan wants to do is needle you. If he can't get in the front door, he'll come in the back door. He'll come in the side door. He'll do anything he can to find a way into your life, because what he ultimately wants to do is get into the church, to get into the life of a Christian. Amen. To do something to cause you to dishonor God. Amen. Have you ever noticed how much of a big deal that the liberal press makes of it when someone who is a Christian has a failure or a fault in their lives? Doesn't it say in the book of Ecclesiastes this? It says, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. How much more folly in the life of that one that's a Christian?" What Satan wants to do is come and cause you something in your life that causes you to dishonor God. But I'm going to stop right here and just tell you that failure is an event. It's not who you are. And Christians fail every day. And what God wants you to do is keep coming. He wants you to keep trying. He doesn't want you to quit. He doesn't want you to give up. He wants you to know that God loves you and this church loves you. And if you've had a failure in your life, confess it before God and move on. And don't give the devil the honor and the glory that he wants. God wants you to move on for God. You see, what the devil also wants is he wants you in hell. And I want to tell you something about hell. The Bible teaches this. The hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. God has no intentions of any man ever going there. It was created for the devil. But we've got people in the world today, and this is how we're headed in America. It's more politically acceptable on a college campus, a liberal college campus today, for a person to be involved in witchcraft and something that a lot of young ladies is getting involved in called Wiccan than it is for you to stand up and say, "I'm a Bible-believing, fundamental Christian, and I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I'm not ashamed of it." See, the devil wants you in hell. Why? Because he already knows that he's going. In the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says that the devils fear and tremble because they know that there is one God. You read through the Gospels and you see time and time again when Jesus would go to a place and he would cast out spirits. Remember the story of the Gadarene demoniac? They said, "Why comest thou here to persecute us before the time?" What time? It is the time that God's going to stand up and say, "That's enough." And he's going to say, "Get down there," and the devil's going to go to hell. He's going into the fire and the pit, and God has no intention that any person go with him. But the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your testimony. And he would love to destroy Hiram First Baptist Church. Because when you stand up for right or you stand up for truth, sometimes when Satan, he's got the world, he's got all the things that are in the world, he wants to hurt a testimony of a person that acts like they believe what they're saying. He's going to come after you because he wants to devour you. Remember Peter? He told the Lord, "I'll go with you all the way." But the Lord already knew. He said, Peter, I prayed for you, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Because Jesus already knew. Now, folks, just because God knows doesn't mean that God's sovereignty means you've got to go do something that's wrong. God already knows the past, the present, and the future. And I wish some of these Calvinists could get a hold of that. I'll just tell y'all right now. I'm excited this morning, but I'm going to say this. I'm going to get back on track. I'm not only against Calvinism, I'm an anti-Calvinist. I believe the blood of Jesus is for all people. There ain't nobody that God ever intended to go to hell, because he said, for whosoever but shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter wrote about it after he went through it. Because he went through it and he got to the point that he was over there, and just like you and I, he was in the flesh and he come to a point of weakness, and they said, surely you were with him, for your speech betrays you. And he denied the Lord with a curse. And then he turned and his eyes met the eyes of Jesus. And the scripture says he wept bitterly. He learned so much that day. You ever heard anybody that was a Christian and they look at somebody else and they say, oh, I'd never do that? Let me tell you what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You see, Satan wants to devour you, but you can defeat him. And I want to tell you how you can defeat him this morning. How you say, what makes the devil run? What makes the devil run? Kind of like that, we play that video sometimes here. Run, devil, run. They've got the guy driving in the old Trans Am. It's not the Trans Am that makes the devil run. It's the blood of Jesus. Because when you call upon the blood of Jesus, or you claim the blood of Jesus, or you plead the blood of Jesus, Satan in himself, not just the demons of hell, but Satan himself has no power to stand against the blood of Jesus. You know, I've had people ask me to come in times in ministry to their house and pray. They want the house anointed, they want the windows anointed, they want the doors anointed, and they want to drive the evil spirits out of their house. Some of you are familiar with this, some of you don't believe it, but I'll tell you that I've done it. And I've went into people's houses, and here's the first thing I say, if there's anything in this house that's going to dishonor God, before we do anything else, we're going to get it out. We're going to get out the pornographic magazines. We're going to get out the alcohol. We're going to get out the drugs. We're going to get out anything that dishonors God, because I'm not coming in here doing battle with the devil if you're not willing to submit yourself to God first. Because when I go in, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to anoint the windows with oil. I'm going to anoint the door with oil, and I believe that the power and the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ is enough to drive the devil from the place that you're at. But you've got to first believe it and receive it for yourself. See, we can resist him because the enemy cannot stand against the blood of Jesus. We are redeemed by the blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, speaking of Jesus Christ, says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You see, when you rebuke the enemy by the authority and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the enemy has to flee. And here's why. I just want to give you just a few points this morning. Number one, it is because the blood conquers. There is power in the blood. You know the song that we sing? Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. You see, Jesus conquered through his death. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 and 57, it says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scripture says in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 31, it says, him speaking of Christ, his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. I heard a preacher one time, and he was a different preacher. He said, what do you mean different? Well, let me tell you this. He spent his entire life different than you and I. He didn't grow up in church. He was what the world might call unreachable. But I want you to understand something. There's nobody unreachable when the power of God begins to move and the blood of Jesus Christ begins to do its work. He got saved by the grace of God. He was involved in drugs and selling drugs and running around. He said, I went to church. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to cut my hair. I didn't know how to talk. And the preachers just took me under their wing and they started trying to help me. And he said, finally I had to realize that God didn't call me to be them. He called me to be me. All God wants you to do is be the very best that you can be. And I heard him stand up and preach, and he started talking about this verse in Acts number 2 and verse number 31. And he said, the devil, he told corruption, he said, I want you to go to where Jesus is at. And he said, I want you to jump on him. And he said, I want you just to wrap yourself around him, and I want you to corrode his body. Lest the scripture, you know, the scripture says he's going to rise. But corruption, if you get a hold of him, he'll never get up. And he said, death, I want you to wrap yourself around him so much that when the body begins to try to move and come back to life, he can't come back to life. You say, well, it don't say it like that. Doesn't it say that corruption couldn't touch him and death couldn't hold him? I want to tell you something. When it come time for Jesus to come up, corruption, it couldn't even touch him. And death could not hold him. Let me tell you, the devil runs from the blood of Jesus. You see, Jesus has conquered death. Jesus has conquered the law. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, this is from Jesus. He said, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth passed, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Now, what I believe the Lord's trying to say here is just because I came, or Jesus is saying, just because I came, or just because Jesus came, doesn't mean the law is not the law. Doesn't mean that the law is not good or it's not important. But Jesus is saying, I come to fulfill the law. Because you and I, we're going to struggle. Have you ever thought about the fact that if one person could have fulfilled all of the law, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come? Well, here's the other side of that. There's nobody here that's without sin. There's nobody here that doesn't need Jesus Christ. There's nobody here that doesn't have something that if we stood before God and we were to be measured upon all of our works, that would cause us not to be an offender of the law. But Jesus came to fulfill the law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, it talks about what Jesus did. It said, he blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All of my wrongs. In Ephesians chapter 2, 13 through 16, it talks about we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then in the 15th verse, it said that Jesus abolished in his flesh the enmity or the separation, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What does that mean? That God fulfilled the law, that you and I are not saved today by walking through and fulfilling the law, but we're saved by grace through faith. So Jesus conquered the law. But think about this as well. Jesus' blood, it conquered the enemy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 15, it says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Have you ever, when we look at the cross, and we've got a beautiful cross here in the church, I heard a guy say one time, he was an evangelist, he said, every church I ever went to, he said, the first thing I did was look for a cross. I want to see a cross in the church, outside the church somewhere. He said, I went to a little church one time and I went in. They didn't have a cross anywhere. I just left. We got a beautiful cross. Isn't this pretty? Now, some of you don't know this, but Brother Keith Davis made this. He made this stand. He made this table for the church, and it is beautifully built. But isn't the cross pretty? God gave me a message one time, and I came in here, and I put blood on the cross. There was blood at the top where the crown of thorns pierced his head. There's blood where his back was beaten and ripped open and it leaned on the cross. There was blood where his hands were driven and held to the cross by the spike. There was blood running down the cross and blood coming out of his heels. But I want to tell you something. That blood defeated every enemy that you and I will ever have. Why? Because the blood was on the cross. Now I want to say this also. The blood of Jesus Christ, we said it conquered death and there is power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ has conquered the power of sin. Sometimes I've talked to people and it seems like they say, well, I'll never get over this. I'll never be anything but this. I'll never have any victory over this. That is a lie that the devil wants you to believe. Because God has the power and the ability through the power of His blood to give you victory over the sin and the demons of your life. That's why the Bible wrote and Paul preached it. He said that we ought to lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us and run with patience the race that's set before us. What the devil wants you to believe is that you have to live in your sin. Yes, you can be a Christian, but I'm sorry, you're going to be this way your whole life. That's a lie. And it's a lie that the devil wants you to have. You see, the blood conquers, but the blood of Jesus also cleanses. Washed me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 says this. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now sometimes, folks, when I read the Bible, it's rough. This is a rough verse. It says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's rough. When I read that and I read those sins and I look at the world and, you know, we'd like to say, well, I'm none of those things. But I want to tell you something. Where would you be, where would I be without the grace of God? In the 11th verse, it goes on, and I like this. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, and ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. What are we washed in? We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus cleansing me from all of my sin, where would I be? Are you sure that it's the blood of Jesus that washes us? Well, here's what it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the another. And the blood, say it with me, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, when the devil accuses, you can point to the blood. When the world condemns, you can point to the blood. We're not what we used to be because of the blood. Well, what does the blood cover? The blood covers anything you bring. Sometimes people say, well, I've actually had people say, you just don't know what I've done. I'll stop them. I don't need to know. I don't need to know the secrets. I don't need to know the tales. I just want them to know
that the blood will cover. God already knows. He knew from the foundation of the world. The eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. But God's blood will cover. The only thing that the blood will not cover is something you do not bring. That's why it's sad to me when I see people who say, I just don't believe in God. I just don't want God in my life. I don't need God. Well, here's the sad part. Then you're not going to have Him. And if you don't come to Him and bring whatever it is, whatever your heartache is, whatever your burden is, whatever your sin is, whatever your fault is, if you don't want forgiveness of sins and to be washed in the blood, you will not be. But the blood covers. Consider the scripture in James chapter 5, verse number 19 and verse number 20. It says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, there's been times that we've helped people, and Bible talks in the book of Jude, it's like, as it were, snatching a brand from the fire. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 9, I just want to read just a couple of verses, and that's the principle. I want you to see the picture, because there's a true story about Noah and his sons after that they had come through the flood. Remember, Noah was the preacher. He was the man of God. He was the one during that time to stand strong. He was the example to his sons. But the Bible talks about after they had come through the flood that Noah had planted a vineyard. And in the 20th verse it says, Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard and he drank of the wine and he was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father and their faces backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now here's a picture that I want you to see, because if you look at this verse where Ham went in, it says he saw the nakedness and he told his brethren. The word saw in Hebrew is re'ah. Here's what it means. It means to look with pleasure. It's like when somebody is supposed to be in reputation for wisdom and honor and they fail and people look at them, there are those that look at them and say, aha, aha. And then it said that he went and he told. That word in the Hebrew is naged. It means to tell with delight. It's like this. Hey, let me tell you about what the preacher did. Let me tell you about what Deacon so-and-so did. Let me tell you about what the Sunday school teacher did. But if you see the picture, Shem and Japheth, they went. And they got a drape on their shoulders. And they walked backwards. And they laid it across their father. Not looking at him in respect for him. And let me tell you this much. God knows where we're at. He knows where you're at. God doesn't need us to be His police. He's got enough power that He can deal with His people. And Noah was His man. And God knew exactly how to deal with Noah. And this is a picture, my friend, of what God wants you to see about the blood and the grace of God. That God can handle whatever it is that you've got in your life, but He cannot handle something that you do not bring to Him. Amen. There was a lady that came here for a while, and I counseled with her, and I witnessed to her. She finally ended up getting saved. And I can remember time and time again, she said, I just don't believe God will forgive me. I just don't believe God will love me enough after all the things that I've done. You know, the longer you live, the more trouble you can get in, right? Here's what you need to understand about the blood of Jesus. anything you bring, whatever it is, whatever your heartache is, whatever your burden is, whatever your weakness is, you don't need to come tell the preacher. You need to come tell Jesus. And all you need to do is understand that the blood of Jesus Christ, it was enough down through the ages to today to cover the sin of every man, woman, boy, and girl, every person that had any burden, every person that had any problem. The whole world could be saved if they would accept the blood of Jesus. But you must ask for the covering. If you don't ask for the covering, you won't have the covering. It's an eternal insurance policy. Could you imagine if I was up here today and I was selling eternal insurance? And all you had to do was come and sign up. Because the cost of the insurance is so high, nobody could pay it. Not the richest person on earth, not the greatest person on earth. There's nothing that anyone would have that they could offer to fulfill the cost of this insurance policy. But I said, all you have to do is just accept it. Would you like to have an eternal insurance policy? Would you like to know that in eternity, all the things that you've ever done, all the thoughts, all the intents, everything that's ever been a part of your life is going to be washed away? But you got to come. You see, the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. That's why we believe in taking communion. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. They've got a song they're going to play. The blood of Jesus. Maybe somebody here this morning, you've got a heavy heart, you've got a burden. Bring it to Jesus. Maybe you've got something in your life, and I want to tell you something, folks. The preacher's been there. I've had things in my life that I've had to bring to God, and I've had to say, God, I can't deal with this by myself. I can't overcome it by myself. I want to place it on the altar. I want to put it under the blood. God, I don't want to come and pray, and when I get up, I take it back to my seat with me. I want you to touch me. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I don't understand all that. I'll tell you one thing. I know what's going on in somebody's life this morning. God's speaking to somebody's heart. You feel it. And you know that there's a God. We didn't come from nowhere. And what you'd understand if you'd accept what Jesus Christ has, you could have this insurance policy. But you got to come. If God spoke to your heart this morning, God spoke to you in any way, and you'd like to pray, would you please come while they play the song?
Too far. You may think there is no path that can wash away your deepest sin. There is hope for you, my friend. Jesus died and rose again so that you could know the joy. Oh, the blood of hidden sin. You try to cover deep within, and everybody thinks your life is in control. You can run, but you can't hide. God sees everything inside, but forgiveness waits at the foot of Calvary's cross. The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus can cleanse your deepest sin. The blood of Jesus, the blood.
Blood cover.